grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. How many of you know the three keys to real estate? Good. Location, location, location. Very good. Yeah. So, how many of you know the three keys to our right faith in Advent? Well, it's very close. It rhymes. It's not location, 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 but vocation, vocation, vocation. When we put our minds to vocation this time of year, the season of Advent, then we'll hear the Lord speak to us. Words of law, what you must do, and words of gospel, what God has done for you to make us perfect in His sight. So that when Christmas comes, you'll say, "Oh my, it's God, not I, who made that gift in the manger, that man, the perfect gift for me and for all humanity. A gracious gift apart from my life, my debts, my doing. And God knows I needed it. And God is calling all hearts to repent and believe in it." That is the gospel. That He comes to conquer sin, sickness, and death. First, we are called to consider the vocation of John the Baptist, the second Sunday of Advent. His vocation. John was not the reigning king. He wasn't the Caesar of Rome, which they mention in the text, Tiberius. Nor was he the governor of Judea. That belongs to a man you all know, Pontius Pilate. Nor was he a relative of a politician, which they mention a couple, Brother Philip and Lysanias in the text. Nor was he one of the high priests, Annas and Caiaphas. Yet, the word of the Lord came to John. Imagine that. God is calling someone of no repute, no status in the land, no high office, not a ruler, not even a high priest, to hear something wonderful and to do something great. Where were the high priests? Where were the leaders of the land? Where was the up-and-coming relatives leading God's people back into God's ways? Why was John called when he was out in the wilderness? Perhaps it is because God's true word was about to be fulfilled. As it is written in the book of Isaiah the prophet, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain shall be made low, every crooked shall become straight, the rough places shall become level ways, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." As someone called to fulfill God's word of old, John's vocation, his calling, was to prepare people for God to come. Wow. Imagine that. And he was coming soon, wasn't he, in Jesus? His preparation required a ritual, baptism, and also some in-your-face instruction. The baptism, he proclaimed, as it says in the text, was for the forgiveness of sins. No person is ready for God to come without forgiveness. No one. Just as you cannot look at the sun without sunglasses, so also you cannot see God favorably without getting wet. God indeed comes graciously by water and the Spirit. Not by your preparations, not by your false sense of security.
Well, I've got Abraham as my father. Or I'm just fine just the way I am.
Not by trying to cover your own sins. Adam and Eve, you tried to do that a long time ago with those fig leaves, remember? Didn't work. Forgiveness comes from God, and it's important, and it clothes you and protects you. It helps you to see God. And God put forgiveness in those baptismal waters. You need that gift. If you haven't been baptized, come talk to pastor and hear about it. It'd be the greatest Christmas gift you could ever receive. Priests in the Old Testament, they knew about baptism. They, those priests, just the priests, had to wash before they went into the temple, before they offered the incense, the burning of candles, the eating of the bread, the serving, the doing of the sacrifices, all the things that priests did in the Old Testament. First, they had to wash before they could do it. But now, a son of a priest named John was in the wilderness baptizing people, saying, "This is for you, and this is for the forgiveness of your sins." But John also instructed them. He questioned their motives of the people coming out to be washed. "In your face," he instructed them, "you brood of vipers, who warned you of the wrath that is to come?" John wanted their hearts to be consistent in concert with their actions. He didn't want anybody to be washed if they're just doing it for some other reason than the real, true reason for the forgiveness of sins. If you don't think you need this, don't do it. If it's not like you don't, "I'm not a sinner," then don't be washed for the forgiveness of sins. Don't mock this gift of God. Some people are kind of like that today. "Well, I've got Buddha. I've got baptism. I've got bananas. I've got all my bases covered." No. You read God's word, you find out there's only one God and one gift that he brings, the remission of sins, in baptism. It's for sinners, which means if you're going to be baptized, it's for you. And there's only one Savior. That's the one John is proclaiming, Jesus. Speaking of bananas, John told the people also who are being baptized to bear fruit in keeping with repentance. What does this mean? Well, that's where we turn from John the Baptist's vocation today to your vocation, your calling. The second part of our text really has more to do with you than it has to do with John. You have one major vocation in life, one major calling, and that's to believe in Jesus Christ, Son of God, and the gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation that he brings. That's your biggest calling of all. Don't miss it. But also, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Now that you are in Christ, now that you're baptized, you're washed, you're forgiven, you are a new creature. Now behold how God will work in you, yes, you sinner, to do good things, so that others may know love, others may see the goodness of God here on earth until he comes again. And until he comes again, he'll dwell in you just fine, sinner. So the law that once showed me my sin and showed me my need of a Savior is now a guide for good works, a vocational handbook for all that we do. I am called in Christ to obey the commandments in all the minor vocations that I find myself. You see, the crowds asked John, "What then shall we do?" And he answered, "Whoever has two tunics is to share with him who has none. Likewise, those who have no food, share with them." Baptized believers share. They give food to those who are hungry, along with the message of the gospel of hope. They clothe those who need clothing so that they, warmed and protected from all the elements, can hear the good news and participate in it in their life. Tax collectors. We all love tax collectors, right? They came out too to be baptized by John, saying, "What shall we do?" And he said to them, "Collect no more than what you're authorized to do." Soldiers asked him, "What about us? Do not extort money from anyone by threats and false accusations, and be content with your wages." There's the ninth and tenth commandment. Be content. You see, vocations vary, but the call to do right is universal. None of these things that you do, good things, being right, obeying the commandments, none of that saves you. Baptism saves you. But now in your callings, go bananas. You've been freed by God, forgiven by God. To do what? To bear fruit for God. To bear witness to God. To do good to others. To be faithful and honest in your callings. Each according to your vocation. How would a child of God handle this situation or that problem? This sin in me, that sin in others? How can I be a better father, a friend, a student, a soldier? Remember who you are. Baptized, forgiven, an heir of eternal life. And remember what the baptized are called to do. Bear fruit. Be honest and true. And look out for the needs of others. Know and proclaim the truth that God is coming again. This is your calling, this Advent, your vocation. When you put your mind on vocation this season, you hear God, the Lord, speak to you. Words of law, what you must do, and words of gospel, what God has done for you, to forgive you, to free you, to make all your works good in his sight. Repent, bear fruit, and prepare to receive your coming King who comes graciously for you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.